time now for the 1215 News. Brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. Today's local weather forecast is calling for mostly sunny skies with a high near 88. I'm Jeremy Smith reporting the news. Our lead story. The Flora Community Unit School District No. 35 hosted a special meeting of the Board of Education Wednesday evening at the unit office. The first order of business was a discussion and then a unanimous vote for Flora High School to leave the Little Illini Conference at the end of the upcoming school year, and then starting in the 2021 through 22 school year, join the Black Diamond Conference. The Black Diamond Conference consists of an East and West Division. It's assumed that the Wolves and Wolf Gals would enter in the Eastern Division and compete against schools including Fairfield, Edwards County, Carmi-White County, McLeansboro, Hamilton, and El Dorado. In the Western Division Conference, opponents may include Vienna, Sesser-Vallier, Christopher, Trico, Gorville, and Ziegler-Royalton. Chester High School is currently in the BDC. However, they recently announced they are leaving the Western Division and joining the Cahokia Conference no later than the 2022 through 2023 school year. The final decision will be made at the upcoming conference meeting to be held on July 16th. The Flora School Board also approved several personal items. They approved Brooke Bales as assistant high school volleyball coach for the upcoming season. Alan Tulliver was approved as junior high baseball coach for the new school year. And the board employed Amy Hurtis as junior high guidance counselor for the upcoming school year. More news after this.
Climb to new heights with the one-year electrical distribution systems program only at Frontier Community College. If you like working outdoors or are interested in becoming an electrical lineman, this is the program for you. Our instructor, Jerry Kinney, will teach students the basic skills required to be an electrical lineman, including safety, pole climbing, equipment operation, transformer theory and operation, hurt man rescue, and much more. Electrical lineman is a great career with excellent benefits. Call Frontier Community College at 842-3711 to speak to an advisor today.
Newly graduated or a seasoned nurse? Your career is here. Hamilton Memorial Hospital and Family Clinics have full and part-time job opportunities close to home. We offer competitive pay with RNs starting at $23.50 an hour, a team environment great for learning, and most positions offer an attractive benefit package, including medical, dental, vision, and paid time off. To find out more about Hamilton Memorial Hospital career opportunities, visit hmhospital.org and click on careers. Hamilton Memorial Hospital and Family Clinics is an equal opportunity employer.
Little Giant Grocery is here for you during this unique and difficult time. And to best serve you, we now offer delivery and curbside pickup for your convenience. The friendly staff at Little Giant is committed to providing you with the products and services you want at prices that help you stretch your dollar further. Call today for details on delivery and curbside pickup options. 618-380-6489. That's 380-6489. Call 380-6489 for Little Giant delivery or pickup in Carmi.
And now, the rest of the news. On July 9th, the Wayne County Sheriff's Office arrested 28-year-old Blake Aaron Powell of Wayne City for retail theft over $500. Powell was transported to the Wayne County Jail and posted $1,020. Also on July 9th, the Wayne County Sheriff's Office responded to a two-car accident near Leech. Jesse P. Parks of Fairfield was traveling southbound on County Road 2450 East when he topped a hill crest and sideswiped a John Deere plow that was being pulled by Corey J. O'Donnell of McLeansboro. There were no reports of injuries on the scene. Speaking at yesterday's Fairfield Rotary Club, Wayne County Public Health Administrator Clark Griffith said he is working with local school administrators as they plan for the opening of school in August. Griffith said there is really no choice. Students will have to wear a face mask.
From the school perspective, okay, my understanding is that their liability insurance will not protect them in litigation that's related to a COVID-19 event. So in other words, if a child contracts the disease from attending school, their insurance will not provide any level of protection for that litigation situation. So they have to follow there's five protocols that they have to follow, and masking is one of those five protocols. So that's what's pushing and that requirement for masking.
Griffith said his department is seeing a shift in the testing results, with more young people testing positive in the past week. He also said his department was working closely with nursing faculty at the Frontier Community College to help in contact tracing of people who have come into contact with the infected. The Wayne County Health Department has been notified of one additional positive case of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours in Wayne County residents, a male in his teens. To date, there have been 16 lab-confirmed positive cases of the virus in Wayne County. 12 people have recovered. 3 are currently isolating at home. No one is in the hospital at this time. And one person has died. Wayne County has done a total of 1,979 tests, with a total of 1,963 negative test results. Wayne County Health Department continues to investigate each case, ensuring the isolation of the positive patient. In addition, the Wayne County Health Department places close contacts that have had exposure to the positive patient on quarantine for a minimum of 14 days. This would allow for symptoms to develop and pass without posing a risk to others. If you are contacted by public health officials, please respond promptly. The number of cases can be reduced by adhering to the Restore Illinois recommendations of washing hands frequently, disinfecting commonly touched surfaces, and maintaining space of at least 6 feet from others. The Edwards County Health Department was notified yesterday evening of an additional Edwards County resident who tested positive for the virus. This was after an earlier announcement in the day of 4 positive tests. This individual is currently isolating at home, and this brings the Edwards County total to 7 lab-confirmed tests. The Illinois Department of Public Health has announced 1,018 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the state, including 20 additional confirmed deaths. The new cases come mainly from Cook, DuPage, Kane, Kendall, McLean, and St. Clair counties. On the list was one as being out of state. Currently, IDPH is reporting a total of 150,450 cases, including 7,119 deaths in 102 counties across the state. Within the past 24 hours, labs have reported 36,180 specimens for a total of 1,878,756. The preliminary 7-day statewide positivity for cases as a percent of total tests from July 2nd through the 8th is 2.6%. As of last night, 1,507 people in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with the virus. Of those, 317 patients were in the ICU, and 153 patients were on ventilators. The Wayne County Board met last night for their regular monthly meeting. The board dealt with a short agenda and adjourned in 15 minutes. County Clerk Lizanne Woodrow updated the board on the vote-by-mail process that is being mandated. She stated that voters who voted in the 2018, 19, and 2020 elections will receive a vote-by-mail application. She further stated that money obtained from the CARES Act will pay for the postage and supplies for the mailing. She also thanked the board for their support of last Thursday's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day and said that plans are being made to make it an annual event. The jail committee stated that site work has been completed for the new Sheriff's Department radio system, and installation will be occurring over the next few months. And EMA Director Jeff Jake informed the board that they currently have a 30-day supply of masks, gloves, and gowns. They built up their inventory to be prepared for any potential second wave of the COVID-19 virus. Due to the recent developments concerning COVID-19 in Olney and Richland County, including patrons of the Musgrove Aquatic Center in Olney being exposed to the virus, the City of Olney has decided to temporarily close the Musgrove Aquatic Center until further notice. A federal grand jury for the Southern District of Illinois has returned an indictment charging Brittany Freeman, 27 of Johnson City, Illinois, with 4 counts on theft of mail by a Postal Service employee. Freeman worked as a mail carrier for the Goreville Post Office, and the indictment charges that she stole over $500 worth of rebate checks sent by Menards to customers along her mail routes from February through March of 2020. The arraignment for Freeman will be held on July 27th at 1:30 p.m. at the Federal Courthouse in Benton, Illinois. Each of the 4 felony counts is punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. The charges resulted from a referral and investigation by the United States Postal Service, Office of the Inspector General, and the case is being prosecuted by Assistant United States Attorney Peter T. Reed. Richard Emerson and Troy Waltney were met by protesters as deputies escorted them into the Sling County Courthouse on Thursday afternoon. Emerson, 30, and Waltney, 42, along with 22-year-old Tariah Emerson, all of El Dorado, are accused of concealment of a homicide in relation to the death of El Dorado man Chase Edward Mitchell. Mitchell was reported missing by his family in early May of this year, and volunteers found his remains near the Saline-Gallatin County line on June 9th. Charging documents allege that the three defendants transported and disposed of Mitchell's remains in an attempt to knowingly conceal a death by homicide between the dates of April 5th and June 9th. Both Emerson and Waltney waived their right to a preliminary hearing, and Judge Walden Morris ruled that court documents show sufficient evidence for just cause to proceed to trial. Pre-trial is now set for September 18th at 9 a.m. for both cases, with a jury trial set to begin at 9 o'clock on October 7th. Tariah Emerson waived her right to a preliminary hearing on Tuesday, July 6th. Her pre-trial is set for September 22nd, with a jury trial to begin on October 7th. Molly Wilson-Kazier is prosecuting all three cases on behalf of the people of Illinois. The state of Illinois began a new fiscal year on July 1st, and the person in charge of managing the state's bank accounts said she fears it could be one of the most difficult years in modern history. "This is going to be, I think, by far perhaps the most challenging year that I've had to manage as comptroller," says State Comptroller Susan Mendoza in an interview Wednesday, July 1st. "And that's saying something because, you know, I had to navigate the state through what was, when I took office, the worst fiscal crisis that our state had ever experienced, the two-year budget impasse." The difference between then and now, she says, was that during the budget impasse, the state still had revenues flowing in, just no legal authority to spend it. But in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic and the near shutdown of the state's economy that it forced, Illinois now isn't seeing anything close to the revenues it will need to fund the new budget. The financial impact of the pandemic started to appear in state revenues in April and May. Before then, Mendoza noted, Illinois was in relatively good shape, with a nominally balanced budget in place and revenues coming in greater than expected. The state was even making progress on paying down its backlog of past due bills. But that all changed in April after Governor J.B. Pritzker extended the tax filing deadline to July 15th, which took a big bite out of revenues, and state normally would have seen that money this month. Meanwhile, the state's unemployment rate shot up to an unprecedented 17.2% in April, as employers throughout Illinois were forced to shut down, scale back operations, or lay off due to the novel coronavirus. As of Wednesday, according to the comptroller's website, the bill backlog stands at $5.4 billion. But Mendoza said that that figure doesn't tell the whole story, because in order to keep the state running, it borrowed roughly $2.7 billion. Mendoza says there is no way for Illinois to make it through this new fiscal year without making draconian budget cuts if Congress doesn't come through with aid. And Illinois Speaker of the House Michael Madigan on Thursday called for removing statues and portraits of the 19th century U.S. Senator Stephen A. Douglas from the State House along with other known slaveholders. While reading Sidney Blumenthal's book All the Powers of Earth concerning the pre-Civil War period a few months ago, I learned of Stephen Douglas's disturbing past as a Mississippi slave owner and his abhorrent words towards people of color, the Chicago Democrat said in a statement. "I have advised my staff to research and confirm the history to support removing the Douglas portrait from the House chamber." Douglas was a prominent Democratic politician in Illinois during the 1840s and 50s. He briefly served as Secretary of State and later as Associate Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court before he was elected to the U.S. House in 1842. The General Assembly elected him to the United States Senate in 1847, and he served there until 1861. While in the Senate, Douglas helped write the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854, which allowed the territories of Kansas and Nebraska to decide by popular vote whether they entered the Union as free or slave states, which effectively overturned the Missouri Compromise, banning the extension of slavery into the new territories. In 1858, Douglas was up for re-election, but Abraham Lincoln of the newly formed Third Party Republicans challenged him in the election by the General Assembly. The issue of whether or not to expand slavery into the new territories of the U.S. was the subject of a series of high-profile debates known as the Lincoln-Douglas debates. Madigan said he plans to offer a resolution to replace Douglas's portrait in the House chambers and replace it with one of former President Barack Obama. He also called on the Office of the Architect of the Capitol, which supervises all repairs and alterations to the buildings in the Capitol complex, to move swiftly to remove statues of Douglas and Pierre Menard, the state's first lieutenant governor. That's news. Area deaths are next.
Hello, this is John Hosselton at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney. Is pre-planning your funeral worthwhile? Research shows that making funeral pre-arrangements is worthwhile. You make your wishes known in advance, so difficult decisions won't have to be made at the time of death. These decisions can all be made in a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. Please call John Hosselton or Daniel Fopay at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home for an appointment at 618-673-2131.
Attention, Class A CDL drivers. KMA is now offering a $2,000 sign-on bonus. KMA is currently hiring drivers for spotting and local shuttle work. Consistent hours, weekly pay, monthly safety and attendance bonuses. No hazmat, no truck stand moves, no long route runs, and higher mounted airlines for easier access. Full benefits package, free health clinic for insured employees. Call today, 833-237-8929. That's 833-237-8929.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 83. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers. Brought by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial representative, located at 101 East Delaware, Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 25,916, up 209. The NASDAQ is at 10,545, down 2. August crude oil is at $40.05. That is up 43 cents. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nell's Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nell's Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 94-year-old Sims resident James E. Fenton died at 9:15 on July 7th at Wabash Christian Village. He was a veteran of the U.S. Navy, was a member of the Hopewell Cemetery Board and the Barry School Board, and was a past road commissioner for the Arrington Township. James E. Fenton is survived by four sons, James Leon Fenton of Johnsonville, LaVon Fenton of Sims, Herb Fenton of Fairfield, and Regine Fenton of Sims, as well as 12 grandchildren and numerous great-grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents, brothers and sisters, and nieces and nephews. Cremation rites have been accorded, and the Richardson Funeral Home of Wayne City was in charge of the arrangements. There will be no formal service for James E. Fenton. 88-year-old Fairfield resident Mildred Basher died Wednesday, July 8th at Sisney Rehabilitation and Health Care Center. She worked in the housekeeping department at Sisney Rehabilitation and Health Care and worked at Fairfield Memorial Hospital for many years. Mildred Basher is survived by one son, Craig Basher of Jeff, two grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. Preceding her in death was her husband Frank Basher, two daughters, Rhonda Ray and Cheryl Basher. No formal service will be held for Mildred Basher due to COVID-19. Mildred's final resting place will be at the Sisney Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the donor's choice and accepted at the funeral home, or mailed to the funeral home at P.O. Box 418, Sisney, Illinois. Fond memories and condolences may be shared with the family at MeredithFuneralHome.com. Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home is honored to be entrusted with the family's wishes. And Michael D. Smith, 69, of Fairfield, died at 3:15 a.m. on Thursday, July 9th, at the Linda E. White Hospice Center in Evansville, Indiana. He had been a farmer most of his life. Michael Smith is survived by a special niece, Joyce Kuntz of Fairfield, three great-nephews, Justin, Aaron, and Sean Webb, former stepson, Dennis Nelson, and a former grandson, Tony Sneeze, all of Fairfield. He was preceded in death by his parents, three brothers, Charles, Edward, and Ronald Smith, and sister Mary Smith. Per the family's request, Michael Smith's body has been cremated with no formal services or burial. Memorials and donations can be made to help with funeral expenses and can be either dropped off or mailed to Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home, located at 106 Northeast 4th Street in Fairfield, Illinois. Condolences can be made to the family at facebook.com/ Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. Reporting for WFIW WOKZ News, I'm Jeremy Smith.
Do you have pelvic pain, heavy bleeding, urinary leakage? Local OBGYN physician Dr. David Asbury can help. For over a decade, Dr. Asbury has made a huge impact in improving the quality of healthcare. Dr. Asbury is the most experienced robotic surgeon in the Mount Vernon area. His years of experience, coupled with his compassion for each and every patient, makes Dr. David Asbury and his practice very desirable. Asbury and Associates, with four offices in Southern Illinois to serve you.
Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 forecast for today. Mostly sunny skies at a high of 88. It'll be clear tonight with a low of 65 and partly sunny skies tomorrow. Tomorrow's high will be around 92. The outlook for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, partly sunny skies on Sunday. Sunday will have a high of 85 and low of 65. Mostly sunny skies on Monday. Monday will have a high of 90 with a low of 68. And then sunny skies on Tuesday. Tuesday, we expect a high near 92 with an overnight low of 75.